Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I am your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. And tonight I want to talk about, is karma coming due? Because I'm looking around me in my own life, in other people's lives, in what's going on the world stage. And it seems like maybe karma is coming due. So I want to talk a little bit about karma from and what it is, what it isn't, the difference between karma and contracts, karma based on intention or based on action, and good karma versus bad karma, because we often think about karma as just a bad thing. So I want to talk about all these topics tonight. If you would like to join me in the guest seat, that would be fabulous. You can click the button, be my guest tonight, and let's talk about it. Because it seems to me like karma's come and due, and I really want to discuss this tonight. So if you're listening to this on recording, we do record live here in the Wisdom app. Check the show notes, follow the link, follow me on Wisdom so that you'll know when I do go live, and you can join me. I want to talk to you about your experiences, and let's share our wisdom together. So Sadhguru, in his more recent book on karma, he talks about karma being effectively an accumulation of memory in the body, in the energy, in the world around you, and so forth. And that is one of his perspectives on karma. The other one that I thought was more interesting is the idea of how karma is accumulated. So some people might say that you carry karma in with you from a past life, based on things that you did in the past lives that were unresolved, or that karma had not been balanced out yet, so you brought it in with you to this life to be balanced out. Or you're accumulating karma here in this life as well, right? Either or, and both. And so we often think of karma as punishment, right? As the reaction of the universe to something that you did. And this is one of the more interesting perspectives I took from Sadhguru's book on karma. And I love to hear all kinds of perspectives, but this one was sort of interesting. He suggests that it's the intention behind what you did, not what you did. Now, that's an interesting one. So what he's suggesting there is that you may have done a good thing, but you did it with a negative intention, right? You were doing it from a place of anger, right? You did something that would appear kind on the surface, but you did it from a place of anger, or you did it from a place of jealousy. You did it from a place of negativity. That would accumulate then a sort of a negative karma. Or likewise, you may have done a bad thing, but you did so inadvertently, or your intentions were positive. Your intentions were good, even though the end result was bad. So he would say that that would not accumulate a bad or negative karma. So we can look at that from this standpoint of, what does it take to accumulate karma, and what does it take to get rid of karma? And we can also think about what, you know, the karma versus contracts, and right, and this bigger issue of, it appears to me that lately karma seems to be coming due. I look around at my own life. I look at the lives of people that are close to me. I look at what's going on, what people are reporting from just that are acquaintances that I know, right? And in these circles, ever bigger circles, sort of growing out into the world. And it seems to me that positive karma and negative karma seem to be coming due right now. And am I the only one who seems to be noticing this? But it seems to be that karma is calling in right now, right? That it's due, good and bad. So that's why I thought it was important to kind of discuss this topic tonight. And if you'd like to join me, just click the button, be my guest, and we can chat about this tonight. So let's talk about karma versus contracts. So there's a theory that says that before we come into this life, we make a set of contracts. We make a set of agreements that there's a certain number of lessons that we want to learn, and we have these lessons we want to learn, and these gifts we want to give, and different things that we're going to encounter with different people. And so that's a little bit different from the karma that you may or may not be accumulating. And let's take a moment right now to get our first guest in here and see what he has to say on this topic. I love getting different perspectives on this. Matt, welcome.
Hello, how are you?
Fabulous. So what's
Great.
on your mind tonight?
I was just as curious as you were saying that. Do you feel that maybe because you focus on looking at karma that you see it coming due more than others? Do you think that there are waves like when karma comes due more than other times?
Well, that's an interesting question. So, I don't normally focus a lot on it. I think the last time that it was in my thought cycle heavily was probably some months ago when I was reading Satguru's book on karma when it came out, and I thought there were some interesting perspectives on it, right? And
Right.
so I do wonder, did that prime the brain to want to, see things around karma? But it's noticed, I think I've noticed it just mostly about in the last month to 6 weeks. Both kind of good and bad, right? Because not all
Right.
karma is bad, right? It's just a balancing out. But I don't know. What do you think?
I don't see anything more than normal. Like I just, I just see, whether people, call it karma, call it, I don't believe in coincidence. So, I believe there's a higher power. I'm a Christian, so I believe in God. And I believe that God uses karma to make things, to kind of even things out in the universe. I don't think he's controlling everything that happens. And, I don't think there's a master plan, and every action has an equal opposite reaction. But the universe can use everything that happens for a purpose if we allow it. So I don't see anything more than any other time. But I think because of the time we're in, coming out of a pandemic and coming out, I think there are a lot of people. And I want to use the overused term of like spiritual awakening, but I just think people become more aware of things. It was kind of like, I remember, I don't know, probably 5, 6 summers ago, there was a lot of talk about shark attacks, and it was in the news a lot, like people being attacked by sharks. And finally, someone came out and said, there's no more shark attacks than normal. It just, for whatever reason, this is what the news cycle decided to pick up. And now people are focused on that, thinking it's such a big deal. And if you look at the numbers, this is usually the number of shark attacks we have throughout it. And everyone's like, oh, okay. So, it's just one of those things where we focus on it, so much, whatever it is. I'm like, oh my gosh, or, when someone just, loses a loved one, and they know. When they saw a penny on the ground, that would remind them of them, and then they just start to see that. Or, a certain color of car, and you start to look for it. So I just, if you become aware, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, I think we just see these things. But I also think that the universe can use those things to kind of give us comfort or to give us what we need to get out of it.
That's a great point, you know, and it makes me wonder, you know, along those same lines, right? We're coming out of a period of time where people were much less active and coming into a period of time where people are much more active, just generally doing more things.
Right.
And so I wonder if just coming into a period of much more activity, you're seeing all of that, you sort of come around just in proportion to the amount of activity that's happening.
Right.
Perhaps. But yeah, so it could be perceptual. It could be. And it kind of got me thinking about good karma versus bad karma and all of that kind of thing. It's a fascinating topic, and sure. One that certainly has a lot of different perspectives from around the world. You know, is it what you
Absolutely.
Is it because of what you did, or is it because of the intention behind what you did?
Right.
You know, or is it both?
Right. They're all great questions, right? You know, it's hard to know for sure.
Yeah, it sure is. And so from from the Christian perspective, you can bring that for us, maybe.
Sure.
The way that you work with people, have you found that people tend to focus more on karma or consequence or whatever you want to call it as more of punishment and bad, or is there also a sense of reward and, you know, positive side to the whole thing?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There are both sides, you know, and from a Christian standpoint, I certainly cannot talk for all Christians because there's so many different denominations and, you know, things within that. And on something like this, they would certainly disagree to the point where some are like, you know, you're a Christian, you can't talk about karma or anything else. That's not, you know, From my standpoint, I'll just say, you know, so yeah, that they're certainly both, you know, and the Bible talks about tithing and, you know, giving a portion of what you make back to God. And we do that by doing it, whether it's giving it to the church or giving it to charities to help people and everything. And it also says, whatever you give back, I will bless you tenfold. So there is, you know, the blessing part of it. But there are certainly, you know, he talks about whatever you do to the least of my people, you do to me. So when you treat, you know, people poorly, when you do that, you're, there's consequences for that as well. So there are certainly, you know, from that standpoint, both good and bad, depending on our actions and what we choose to do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you can call it, you know, just consequence. There's certainly a lot of discussion of that in the Bible. You know, the good consequence and bad consequence of actions and of intentions, you could also think of it as from the point of what you put out into the world comes back to you, right? Because
yes.
Whatever you put out into the world to other people, or just, you know, in from Christian perspective, you're exacting that upon God himself, right? And so it comes back to you. So if you're putting out negativity, negative intentions, general negative attitudes, that's going to come back at you. And that might feel like a consequence,
right?
Or, you know, or karma. But if you put out good intentions and good things, that's going to come back to you as well. And that might feel like you're being rewarded, when really it's just what you're putting out is coming back around.
Sure. Absolutely. Hey, you know, I don't mean to cut you off, but I have a phone call at 7 o'clock. I didn't realize what time it was when I came in here. So.
No worries.
But thank you so much.
Hey,
one thing I'll recommend is to put some of your socials on your profile. Like, I went on there to see, and you didn't have, like, I don't know if you're on Instagram or Twitter or anything, but
right.
If you add that to your profile so people can connect with you off of this app as well. So,
good point. I think I'll talk a little bit about why I didn't do that. Going to be kind of a cool one. Enjoy your phone call. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you so much. Yep. Have a great night.
You too. All right. So he brings up an interesting question. Why are my socials not there? So I am actually on. I have a Facebook page. I have an Instagram. I don't do Twitter these days. And so I am on a few. And the reason why I don't actually list them and perpetuate them anywhere is because I find them to be largely a negative influence. And so I don't actually encourage my students to spend a lot of time on most social media. I actually encourage them to cut back. And so I actually don't list mine because I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I don't. They're not on my website. And so I kind of make it more of a one-way pull that if people do find me over there on the socials, that I can help to pull them back to connect with me at my website, so at katherinecolleen.com, and join the newsletter there, and that way they can you can enjoy that. So it's out of me not wanting to be a big fat hypocrite, so I don't encourage people to spend a lot of time on it. So you might say, well, isn't wisdom social media? Sort of, but kind of like not. So let me tell you why I actually am a huge fan of wisdom. Because it's designed to create conversations around these really important subjects. You can come on wisdom and you can find talks going on about things that are helpful to your career, to your family life, to yourself, to your personal development. Any sort of personal development topic, really, they're all personal development topics that you can imagine. And you can go on there and you can join in with that expert and actually have a conversation with them. And I love that. It's like, yes, this is a way to open up the mentorship that is so helpful in the personal journey. And so that's why I absolutely love it, but I don't really encourage other types of social media. So let's get back to the karma question. So Matt brought up a couple of really important points. That one, that it could be perceptual, right? Either because people are more active now or because perhaps the word was on my mind and primed me to see it. That's quite possible. Or it could be that it just happens to be that the people that I've kind of seeing and hearing from right now happen to be in a phase of their lives where karma is being balanced out, where the consequences of their previous intentions and previous actions happen to be coming back around. So what I can say is in my circle and my little world, boy, it sure does seem to be coming true. And when I first noticed that, it makes you worry a bit, like, oh crap, you know, am I let me think back. Am I due for some negative consequence, or you know, have I been good? Am I due for some positive consequence here? Ooh, yikes. And once you get past the fear of it, it just is. So let's talk about karma versus contracts. Let's get back to that. The theory is that before you come into this life, that you make a set of agreements or contracts. You have agreements with other people that you're going to have significant relationships here. Parents, siblings, spouses, best friends, major influencers, things like that. I don't mean social media influencers. I mean people who actually influence you in your life, mentors, teachers. And you have agreements, you know, I'll be the daughter and you be the mom and you be the bestie and we'll do like this. And you have certain agreements also in terms of the types of lessons that you're going to learn. You're here to learn a set of lessons. And once you've learned most of those lessons, you're here to give of gifts. It's kind of like try before you buy. You learn your lessons and then you pay your tuition by giving of your gifts, giving back to humanity. And so those are. And that's different from the word karma as I'm using it here, which you could also use the word consequence, punishment and reward. And so that is what you accumulate while you are in this life, right? Because we, what do we do here? We have experiences and we make choices. And once you make a choice, then you see the results of that choice. And you experience that and you say, oh, I like that result or I don't like that result. And you make another set of choices and you have another set of experiences. And we do things. We do all kinds of things when we interact with other people, with the world, with the divine itself. And maybe it's from your intentions, like Sadhguru suggests. It's the intention behind your action, or maybe it is your action, or maybe it's a. But you accumulate from that this sort of a like a balance sheet almost. Ooh, that doesn't feel like a good thing, does it? Almost a balance sheet. But it's really not like that, where it's really not like there's some, you know, that your deity of choice is sitting upon high with a spreadsheet tallying up everything you've ever done. I tend to agree with our previous guest, Matt, on this one, that it's just a built-in mechanism of how this existence works. What you put out into the world, you get back. So let's see what Sonia has to say about. Miss Sonia, welcome.
Thank you, Catherine. Should I call you Guru?
Guru, Catherine, Casey. It's funny. People call me so many things. It's big fun. So it's all good. It's all wonderful and all divine. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having these discussions. Of course, there's, you know, what do you like for yourself? What are you defining karma as, consequences and stuff like that?
Well, for the last guest we did, because he was coming from a Christian perspective. Mm-hmm. And so for myself, I define karma as, the return of whatever you put out into the world. Mm-hmm. So if you've been putting out negativity, you may down the line see negativity coming back into your world in different ways from completely different sources, right? You may be negative to one person, and then later a completely different person is negative to you, right? That's still kind of karma coming around. But it could also be positive. Karma can be good. It can be that you put out good intentions into the world, and then later on good things come to you, good, whatever you define as good. And so that's kind of where I'm taking it from. What do you think?
I also read the karma book from Sadhguru, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, you know, looking at from that side of things in terms of actions and stuff like that. I mean, I always take it, you know, in forms of, you know, it's quite interesting how Matt puts it into, you know, in the consequence mode, right? Because, you know, defining your destiny, right, or you know, creating your destiny is different than the consequence. A lot of times a combination, this I came from, you know, pretty much on, you know, grew up, my dad's the pastor and everything else, right? So in this sense, you know, I was... interesting the way it's being told, right? And of course, with Sadhguru kind of like shed light on his view on karma, right? That's kind of interesting too. I do like the way that he said that, you know, in terms of responsibilities, right? We can outsource a lot of things to God, in terms of like he's almost like an insurance, right, in many ways, right?
I never heard it put that way, but I like it.
You know, like it's like, okay, just in case this didn't happen, it's, you know, it's up to, you know, and then of course if it happens, then yeah, this is what I did, you know, that kind of thing. So I like, you know, I tend to think, yeah, I mean, I don't use the word believe a lot because I want it, you know, in terms of I can deal with what I can see, right? And what I can do in terms of reaction, because this life we have is short. And, you know, I don't want to outsource my life in you know, into heaven, or maybe heaven is already here, you know, that kind of thing. So I tend to go towards that, because in many ways, if you look at also in from the Bible's perspective in terms of creation and everything, right, like the creation is already inside you, and we are created in, you know, the image of God as well, right? So right. In that sense, you know, I tend to like, it's definitely a conversation, right? Because, you know, and of course what we do on earth here is important. He created us, gave us all the tools in many ways, right? There is the creator. He's done a really good job. Now we have to do all the we can to live the fullest life, right? So
right.
That's kind of like how I kind of look at that. As karma coming due, it really depends, you know? Like, if you come from the management of your mind, body, emotions, and energies, then, you know, it doesn't really matter, right? In many ways, right? What comes back, you know, how you respond to it, right?
Right. Ooh, good point. That's right. That's right. Because sometimes what's coming into your life might be something that you put out there, and now it's coming back. Mm-hmm. Or it might be not that at all, right? It might be just, you know, just sort of a happening of somebody else just did a thing. And now you have this whatever in your life, good thing, bad thing. Or it could be, you know, you're just one of those life lessons that we all learn, you know, positive or negative, whether we enjoy it or don't enjoy it. But you really said it. It's about our response to it. Whatever the situation is, whatever happens, you know, how do we choose to view it? Do we say, oh, this is a bad thing? Or do we say that, well, this is unpleasant, but there's a gift here somewhere? Yeah. And see everything as somehow there's a gift in everything and on all our perspective and how we handle it. And that might be actually the single most important perspective of the night, Sonia. That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's why it's all in how we respond. You know, yes. Yes, I love it.
Yeah, and it,
good point.
You know, I don't see it a positive and negative anymore. It's just like, you know, the experience, right? It's beautiful either way, right? And that's how what I meant by response, right? If you see everything as beautiful and you embrace that, you know, experience in full, then there's no question on, you know, right, wrong, and consequences and stuff like that, right?
Yes. So,
in that sense, you know, that goes with love too, right? You know, a lot of people, you know, depending on, you know, what you kind of feel you lack in life, that's what you're going after, right? And and this is kind of, I think in many ways, that's the motivation in, you know, us human being, what you lack, you tend to feel, right? That's what we're attracting.
Right. Right. Well, that's what you're pursuing. But if you're pursuing it from a sense of lacking it, what you'll actually get is more lacking of it.
Yeah. So it's like we're doing different opposite.
Yes.
In many ways. So I tend to find that, I mean, I'm glad we have these discussions, you know, and I think a lot of interesting, you know, understanding out there. So definitely,
yes.
But at the end of the day, I think, you know, I take in the view of, you know, your life is under your management. So how are you gonna do it so it really makes you grow to your full potential as a human being, right? So that kind of
that's thing. Right. Well, and that's another excellent point too, right? It's up to you. You have a choice, right? And you can, you know, you can choose to, and I see people use this in two different ways. They'll say, let go and let God, and they'll leave it to God to be the insurance, right? And they'll say, well, you know, if it's supposed to work out, God will make it happen, and they do nothing. And so in that sense, that's just sort of leaving your laziness to the divine, rather than kind of taking what action that you can, and then, you know, leaving the rest, to be what it will be. But there's another way to look at that, which is, to know that the divine will take care of you, but in that knowing, you are the divine. You are that divine that's going to make it happen. You are, you know, that when they say, it's funny, every religious text in the world has some way of saying that the divine is in you, is in your heart. Usually they pinpoint it in your heart. Or inside of us. And it's so funny how if you play with taking that literally and go, oh, you are that divine that you're going to let go and let go and let yourself. That's kind of another perspective. That divine that takes care of you is with you already. But to your point, you've got to do what you can do. And with those positive intentions, which I noticed that people who are on the personal journey, and this is what's so fun about wisdom, is so many people here on the journey. It's very exciting. Yes. people that are on that journey, they are acting with positive intentions. They are acting out of love, out of joy, out of purpose, out of wonderment, out of all these beautiful things that are, you know, come back around again. And so it's just fabulous to see. Have you noticed also that here in this space, it's a rare, beautiful example of all these beautiful religions coexisting in one place and having discussions?
Yeah, definitely. And
isn't that cool?
Yeah. And I mean, like, I am very fascinated with how things are going, and I've learned a lot going into different rooms, like, you know, and of course jumping into the discussion, it also allows us, like what you said, to ask questions as well that you might have, you know, instead of like sit back and, I mean, we can also sit back and listen to, but then your question, you know, you should come up and ask, because this is the live person that can help you or answer your questions, right? So,
right. Yeah, I think that's the coolest part, the chance that here are all these fabulous experts in all kinds of things, anything you can imagine, that you can jump in and go, hey, what do you think about this? And get that different perspective that might be that thing that just kind of helps you towards your answer. But, you know, and it's so funny, you know, and in many ways, you know, wisdom was not a bit of karma, maybe a bit of manifestation. I heard so many mentors on here saying, I have been waiting for something like this. I have been waiting for something like this. You know, this is exactly what I was looking for. And then, boom, here it is.
Yeah, I know, right? A friend of mine told me, okay, you gotta go out here. I'm like, oh no, I can't speak in front of, like, you know, and then you're like, here you are, you know, anytime.
And here you are.
Yeah, anytime you're like, now I made a promise to myself that every time I feel like discomfort or being challenged, I would jump into it rather than, you know, sit back and kind of like, okay, I'm afraid, I'm not gonna, you know, it's kind of like that approach now for me.
That's good.
Yeah, so I think because on the other side, I always talk about the other side of comfort zone, you know, like all the knowledge that you're gaining just by asking the question, and the quality of your life is the way you ask the question, right? It's not on the questions you ask, I meant. So I tend to go towards that kind of like challenge on myself when I come up here, right? So that way I ask the questions that, you know, that will also not only benefit me, but also hopefully the audience as well. So that kind of thing.
Yes. Well, and that's a great point, because if you have a question, you know, you're pretty much guaranteed there are a lot of other people are thinking the same question. the exact same question. And
at least one,
and
when right? you
at least somebody's out there. Somebody else, and somebody else will go, oh yeah, you know, I was wondering that too. And to push yourself into that, you know, I am, believe it or not, I'm a huge introvert. Mm-hmm. I really, you know, the thought of going live was terrifying. Yeah. And, you know, I used to do all my podcasts just recording, you know, in a studio by myself, and it was lovely. Yeah. And I didn't have to go live or do anything scary. So, you know, this really pushes us introverts out of our comfort zone. But how we're rewarded, though, with quality conversations like this. So
definitely.
Yeah. So that's what kind of keeps you coming back in there and saying, hey, that was fun. I think I'll do that again.
Yeah. Just don't go to Jason's room. So hard questions. No, just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, no.
I'm kidding.
If
he's listening in, he probably good.
Yeah. We love you, Jason. It's all good.
Yeah, we do. You know, I appreciate any big challenges, you know, in terms of.
Yeah. So. Me too. Well, in our last few seconds together, I see the timer counting down. What bit of advice would you throw out there for everybody tonight?
About karma?
About karma or anything that's on your mind?
Yeah, for me, it's just knowing that you have, you know, in terms of control on how your life, you know, how you want your life to be, right? Like, I hear the stories of the people who came from all the struggles because they broke out of that, you know, comfort, right? That we are so, like, programmed into ourselves, right? So once you've done that, you know, this guy, well, I won't want to use that one, you know, it's limitless, right? So in that sense,
it is. Yeah. Ah, and that was perfect. Sonia, thank you so much. That was such a fantastic conversation. And she's absolutely right. We have ultimate control over our lives. And now, notwithstanding, right, in the sense of, because this is a question that comes up a lot, we are the captains of our fate, right? We get to make our choices and then see the experiences that come from those choices and then make more choices. And those are our choices that we get to make. And in that sense, we have complete control over these choices that we make. And that's really when that personal journey starts to accelerate, when you realize that it's you who gets to make the choice. There's a phrase that my dad always used to say. You ever have these phrases that stick with you from your parents every now and again? Just one or two phrases from your childhood that seem to get stuck in your head and pop back up at just the right moment. And he would always say, you always have a choice. Always. And it's probably because I'd be trying to give him some excuse of, but I didn't have a choice. He's no. You always have a choice. And in fact, the way he used to put it is that even with a gun to your head, you have a choice. Now, that's a bit harsh, but he was a Vietnam veteran, so they tend to come at you a little bit more hardcore. But he's right. There is no situation in your life in which you do not have a choice. And that choice is yours. And sometimes we choose to pawn that choice off on somebody else, hand that authority to someone else and let them choose. Sometimes we do that. But when you really take that back for yourself is when that personal journey starts to exponentiate. So we have the karma and we have contracts. So sometimes the things that happen in our lives are the result of agreements that we made before we came into this life, agreements to learn certain lessons through interactions with certain people. And sometimes we notice that the same lesson gets presented to us over and over. Like, how many times do I have to learn this lesson? Well, until you've really learned the lesson and you choose to do differently, right? So those are lessons that may be coming from contracts. But you're choosing every time. And karma is a little bit different as I'm. Karma, as I'm using it here, is more about the accumulation of our intentions. And to some extent, our actions, right? But our intentions, the true intentions of why we do what we do, and how that accumulates, amplifies, and then comes back into our lives through different channels. And I used to try to teach this to my children, and especially the youngest, as he was very independent, going to be on his own immediately after high school by his choice. So with him, even as a teenager in high school, I was trying to give him as many lessons as I could. And so one of them was this, what you put out comes back. It was sort of a lesson in karma. It was whatever you put into the world comes back to you. And most people think that what they put out will come back to them along the same channel. But that's not often how it works. Sometimes that's how it works, but often it's not. It might be, it may not be. So the lesson I gave for him, he helped an elderly woman to put her groceries in her car. Just did a kind gesture. And I said, now you watch that. That's going to come back. Someone is going to be kind to you. And it won't be that same woman. It will be somebody else. And sure enough, within the same week, he quite randomly gets offered a job opportunity by somebody completely different. And in a quite a random happening in a grocery store parking lot. So both grocery store parking lot incidents, but completely different random happening. Hey, I'm looking for people. You seem like a sharp kid here. Apply for this job. So, you know, that was karma. That was not sort of predestined contract or lesson. So that in kind of being the difference. So there's good karma and there's bad karma, right? Most people focus on bad karma. And in fact, when I first saw what appeared to be karma coming due, that is positive or negative intentions wrapping back around into people's lives all around me, I thought to myself, oh my gosh, and I had that moment of fear. Oh man, I better take stock. What kind of intentions have I been putting out? I think they're good. Boy, I better check. Let me just kind of review here. What have I been thinking? Have I been acting from positive intention? Yes, I think so. But let me just go back and take stock and make sure, because, oh my gosh, it really seems to be coming back around lately. But good karma can come back around as well. And it's just a built-in mechanism that helps us to balance out the not just the choices we make, but why we made the choices. Because every time you make a choice, there's the choice you made, the actual choice you made, the thing you chose to do. And there's the why you did it. Why did you choose to do that? The intention, the emotional root at the bottom of why you made that choice. And so there's action and reaction. You take an action, you get a result. And that is in the physical world, and that happens right now. And then karma is coming from that underlying why you chose that. And so that's a mechanism of action and reaction, but it's more of a intention coming out and that same emotional root coming back at you, right? So if you made a choice out of anger, you get an angry result. You make a choice out of fear, doesn't matter what the choice is. You made it out of fear, you get a fearful result, right? So whatever the result of the action, it's going to come in a fearful way, in a way that multiplies the fear or the anger or the joy, the love, whatever it happens to be. So that's really what we're seeing is karma kind of coming back around. It's coming back around all the time, right? It's not just in this moment, but people are getting much more active lately. And I think that might be why it seems to be happening more. There does seem to be this sense of awakening. Now, my perspective is definitely skewed on this. So I recently, a few months ago, moved to a town that is very awake, a much, much higher percentage of people awake and on the journey than experienced. So there's more of a level of consciousness there from a spiritual perspective. So that's definitely skewing the perspective a little bit. maybe a lot of bit. I'm not sure. But it's something to see. And I think people are just sort of awaken is one thing. To choose to take the journey is a very different thing. Some people awaken and then they go back to sleep. Right. And we see some of that happening as well. So this was an interesting discussion on karma. Let's pull out some of the key points that we heard about this tonight. So we could think of karma as consequence, which again makes it sound like punishment, but it's not always. Karma can be good, pleasant, positive, or bad, unpleasant, negative. It's really just your intentions, all those emotional roots of all your choices coming back around into your world in different ways, bringing those emotions back into your world in different ways. It's not the same as contracts or agreements that you make prior to coming here, lessons you've agreed to be taught. That's different. But it's just that boomerang effect of the emotional roots of your choices. And the emotional roots of your choices is something that I talk about a lot. That's kind of the one of the biggest lessons that sort of, you know, what do you wish you knew, you know, when you were 18? That's one of the things I had wish I had known. And, you know, years and years ago, I didn't know to call that karma or even consequence. But it's whatever choice you make will multiply the emotion at the root of the choice. So we want to always make our choices out of love, joy, adventure, purpose, connection, beautiful, positive things. And try not to make our choices out of negative emotions, because we don't want to multiply those in our lives. So these were kind of the important points. You are the captain of those choices. You always have a choice, and you want to examine the emotions at the root of those choices very, very carefully. And then ultimately, when you get to a place where you can see the divine nature in everything and you can have that ongoing conversation with the divine, whether you are non-denominational, spiritual, but not religious, any one particular religion that you enjoy, it doesn't matter. When you can be in that conversation regularly with the divine, knowing that is within yourself and within everything, you end up in this sort of blissful, beautiful state where it doesn't matter what comes around. Now, that's not a great excuse to just go start acting out of anger. You wouldn't at that point. And maybe it's because at that point, when you have that real relationship with the divine, you know, regardless of what nature of your spirituality or religion, you tend to act out of positive choices. So you tend to have positive things coming back around. But anyway, sometimes unpleasant things may happen in your experience that have nothing to do with any of that. Just other people making choices, and you have an unpleasant experience, and it won't even matter, because even in an unpleasant experience, you will see that there is a gift. And so everything becomes a blissful, beautiful experience. So those are some pretty big thoughts to ponder on. So I think we will wrap it up there. Thank you so much for joining me here. Make sure you hit that follow button, follow me, so you know when I go live, and we will have so many more exciting things to talk about and to think about as we enjoy this journey together. Thank you for joining me. And as always, I'm wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.